We're turning in our Bible today to the book of Genesis and chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And we're reading together from verse 1. Genesis 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to you, into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot said, and Lot went out the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door, and smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to finding the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And then on down the chapter in verse 30, And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain with his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with their father. And he perceived not that she lay down, or went, or when she rose. And it came to pass in the morning that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she bore a son and called his name Ben-Amma, the same as the father of the children of Ammon on to this day. Amen. Ending our reading there, praying the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and fallible word. If you have your Bible with you, we're turning to that passage we read together in Genesis 19. And with our Bibles open before the Lord, shall we bow for a word in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for what we've been singing. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly freedom. Lord, we do pray for that today. And maybe we're here today and we remember better days when we walk close to Thee, Lord, and live for Thee and love Thee. Oh, Father, Lord, be with us today in this house. We do thank you for thy word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Lord, just bless us, and bless every head bowed. And fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with power, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Our text today is found in verse 14. Of the passage read together. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The city of Sodom was wicked before the Lord exceedingly. It was so wicked that God saw fit to destroy it with fire and brimstone from heaven. In our reading, Sodom's day of reckoning has come. God has sent two angels to Sodom. Firstly, they've come to destroy the city, but also they've come to warn Lot and his family to flee from the city before it is destroyed. And this they do faithfully in verses 12 and 13 there. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy them." And when Lot hears that solemn news, he leaves his home, makes his way to the homes of his daughters and sons-in-law to warn them. And this he does faithfully. In verse 14 there, he says, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. He was very faithful, so he was. But the Bible says, he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-law. They did not believe him. They didn't take him serious. Now, why did they not believe him? Why did they not take him serious? There was nothing wrong with his message. It was almost the same message that the angel gave up, get thee out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And I'm sure there was nothing wrong with his method. I'm sure he was sincere and pleaded with him, even with tears in his eyes. But it was the man who was wrong. His life did not match up with his lips. Beloved, today we have the best message in the world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God unto salvation. The only message that can make a sinner turn into a saint. The greatest message. And I'm sure when you're witnessing, your methods may be grand. You'll be sincere. You'll witness to people faithfully. But friend, our lives must be right. We cannot let the message down because of our lives. And so today we want to look at Lot's life. And there's three things about it. It was a life that was lived in Sodom. Now, Lot did not always live in Sodom. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees and left it with his uncle Abraham and came into the land of Canaan. He spent some time with Abraham, living in tents. He would have been there when Abraham prayed and built up altars to worship the Lord. But here we find him living in Sodom. How did that happen? Well, first of all, he lifted up his eyes and wheeled and beheld the well-watered plain of Jordan. Verse 10, chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. And it was well-watered there everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as I comest down to Zoar. He took his eyes of the Lord. He saw the well-watered plain of Jordan. And then he chose the well-watered plain. It says there in verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot sojourned east, and they separated themselves one from another. He separated from Abraham. He left the godly influence. He left the prayers of Abraham and the fellowships that we did. And then he dwelt, the Bible says, in the cities of the plain. And then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then finally, we find him dwelling in Sodom. And he sat at the gate of Sodom. And that means he is one of the leading people. He's already going to council. So he was. And his daughters were married to the men of Sodom. And we can see all this gradual decline. It may have taken years. But bit by bit, he got further and further away from God. So he did. We think of Peter. Peter slept when he should have been praying. He followed the Lord afar off. He warmed himself at the fire with the enemies of Christ. And finally, he ended up, he denied Christ with oaths and cursing. Beloved, you cannot live like the world and be a witness against it. And that was wrong with Lot. He had lived for years in Sodom. He had never maybe mentioned the Lord. He lived like everybody else. And then he comes to the sons-in-law and he says, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." And he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-law. Lots, you cannot serve two masters. Jesus said you will love one and hate the other. And the Bible says you set your affections on things above. Lot's affections were not in things above. The world was in his heart, and he lived for the world. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be divided unto you." We think of Lot's life. It was a life that was lived in Sodom. And then it was a life that was lived in silence. So it was. Over in your Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read there about Lot in verse 7. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot was vexed, but he did nothing about it. He lived among the Sodomites, did his business with them. The people in Sodom were his friends, his acquaintances. He rose to be a place of prominence in Sodom. And there were Sodomites in his family. And all that time, he remained silent. He never spoke out against the sins of Sodom. He never got out of Sodom. The only time he was out of it, he went straight back. And he never mentioned the Lord. No. Silence leads to compromise. So then, first of all, he called the men of Sodom brethren in verse 7 there. And said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Imagine calling these vile creatures brethren. And then he was willing to compromise his own daughters in verse 8. "Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." He was willing to compromise his own daughters with these vile creatures. And they had no respect for him. The men of Sodom had no respect for him. Verse 9. "And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door." They had no respect for him. He had no testimony with the men of Sodom. Beloved, we should always seek to be faithful to the Lord. Maybe you're saying, but it might not have been easy for Lot. But you think of Joseph. He was faithful in Egypt. He was sold as a slave by his own brothers. But everybody knew who Joseph's God was. And everybody knew where Joseph stood. We think of Daniel, was brought into Babylon as a young man. But he determined in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And everybody in Babylon knew where Daniel stood. Everybody knew who Daniel's God was. He was faithful. And we think of Paul at Rome. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." No matter what the world may say or think, We should be faithful to the Lord, no matter what. The hymn writer said, speak just a word for Jesus. If it to him be true, speak just a word for Jesus. Tell what he's doing for you. And then last of all, it was a life that ended in sorrow. You think of the sorrow in his heart when the angels told him of their mission. Verse 12 there. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any beside thy sons and laws and thy sons and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring him out of the place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And that must have filled his heart with sorrow when he heard that. And in sorrow when his sons-in-law didn't believe him, didn't take him serious. They thought he was joking. And then there was sorrow at his powerlessness. All the years of compromising, of living for the world, had left him powerless. And powerless when he had to leave behind all that he had worked for and lived for. And sorrow when his wife turned into a pillar of salt. And then sorrow at the sins of his daughters when they lay with him and had children to him. And the only comfort he had was a bottle of wine. And all of this happened, beloved, because one day he took his eyes off the Lord and beheld the well-watered plain of Jordan. He took his eyes off the Lord, maybe just for a moment, but it had far-reaching results. Lot's life, friend, was a wasted life. It wasn't lived for eternity. It wasn't lived for God. A.W. Pink says, living for eternity prevents us from having a saved soul and a wasted life. And there's many people of saved souls, and they'll be in heaven, but their lives are wasted if they're doing nothing for God. Some years ago, I read about the death of a man called Jack Purvis. Jack Purvis wrote books, and one of the ones he wrote, everybody knows about, was Fair Sunshine, the story of the Covenanters in Scotland and their sufferings. But Jack Purvis had been a missionary in Afghanistan, that part of the world, away in the 1930s. But in the 1990s, he came to die. And he was on his deathbed. And his family gathered round him. And they read his favourite portions of scripture. They sang his favourite psalms and hymns. And one by one they thanked him for being a good father and for leading them to Christ. When I read that, I thought of this verse in Psalm 37. And verse 37, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And then I thought of the Apostle Paul, and he came to die. He said these words, so he did, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And another occasion, he said he wanted to finish his course with joy. Oh, beloved, today, may we all finish our course with joy, and may we not be ashamed when Christ comes. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen. We have a closing hymn, so we do. Hymn 441. Hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. Standing to sing 441. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy presence with us. And Lord, we do pray this day that thou will hold our hands and stop us from falling. Lord, help us to be faithful to thee, come not where, wherever we may be, help us always to be faithful to thee. Now, Lord, part us with thy fear and with thy favour. Take us our separate ways homeward. And may the blessing of the triune God, God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.